Welcome to the Lesbo and the Bean universe. Lesbo and the Bean. LATB. Lat B. Where mixed martial arts and the UFC get silly. Big silly. Buckle up and move your tray tables to their upright position. And please, somebody shut that baby up. It's time for Lesbo and the Bean.
Welcome back. Episode 164. Here we go. Finally getting a little bit of a break. Finally getting to know Lesbo and the Bean a little bit more. Getting inside our heads a little bit. We are going to talk about MMA, but we're going to see where the show takes us. How have you been since we last met off of a fight weekend? Now steadily into a weekend of being with our loved ones.
Do you find that you're searching desperately for MMA content, or are you relieved that there's a break?
I do feel a little relieved that there's a break because I've been, you know how I like to watch tape. So a lot of my free time is like, ooh, I'm trying to squeeze in a fight. Everything's been so back to back. Haven't been able to look at the last little spree of winning bets we've had. We've had some losers as well, but it's been a fun trip. It's been a fun little,
hiatus?
Spurt
of fights.
Yeah, spurt of fights, but now it's like, okay, I just ran 100 meters. I gotta.
There was great fights in that whole mix.
Exactly. But which ones do you highlight? How many over this last 8-week span? There was a double fight night in there, finale. And
okay, what about this 80? Did the 8-week span, was it started by McGregor Khabib? Or was that forever ago?
That might have been forever ago already. We are getting towards the end of the show. We're hitting.
Because fight wasn't even a great fight. Now looking at all the other fights we've seen.
That was a fairly predictable fight compared to a lot of other fights over the years.
Yeah, there's been some other amazing...
And as of late, I don't know if it's recency bias, but I was taking a look over last year's award show and haven't officially made all of my predictions there, but I have recency bias. I feel like in this last little spurt, we might have had some of the best fights of the year, but are they the most recent ones? Because when I look back at other fights that I did think like, ooh, that was a fun one, that was 2017, not 18.
I know, it's kind of weird. Have you listened to any other podcasts or watched any other movies?
Nobody else is out. Here, lad, be bringing quality content, liking and subscribing.
I have been on to a weird podcast and I want to tell everyone about it because I think somebody will find something interesting. And I don't know, I'm going to say the critique because I'm an asshole. The only critique I have about it is the dude, one of the hosts on the show, he almost has a vocal fry like a woman where he talks like this at the end of some of his points where he like fries the end of the words. That's what the vocal fry would mean. I think Howard Stern made it popular by mocking it on The Bachelor and Bachelorette where the girls are like, I'm so in love with him. You know what I'm doing?
I know exactly what you're talking about.
There's like a psychological thing.
It's very feminine.
Well, that women think it makes them sound smarter. It's like,
oh,
that's
interesting.
Yeah, it's some weird psychological whatever per the Howard Stern show and some paper they were reading. Anyways, one of the hosts does this, and I don't know if it's just me. But it kind of bothers me, but the show's good enough and it's short attention span enough. I thought it was for everyone out there. It's off fighting topic, but it's called Your Favorite Band Sucks.
Interesting. Okay. I'll have to give it a try.
Yeah, you'll like it. It's good for a drive. And if you're even with women or with family members or with, it might be interesting to put on in the car and cause good conversation. But they do The Beatles, Led Zeppelin, U2. I heard some Green Day, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay, that's fun.
Yeah, and so each episode is about a different band and they tear it all apart and then they end the episode. Well, if they're doing the Red Hot Chili Peppers, well, if the Red Hot Chili Peppers is your favorite band sucks. So it's pretty good and I think people should try it out. Hashtag try it out.
What's
or always your
again?
Mom's house. It's called Your Favorite Band Sucks.
Your Favorite Band Sucks.
So you can get it wherever. And they don't plug here at all. I've just been nerding out on it for a little bit.
I like that. I thought we were going to stay in the MMA realm a little bit. And actually, there was the MMA Hour and Ariel Helwani show that did happen. But not really any breaking news. I did go over those podcasts as my usual rounds. And there was nothing riveting. I mean, Ally Kins are coming back. He's back. Everybody, yeah. He's back.
He's back. Al's back. And then my favorite thing is the fighter always comes on and says, I never win anywhere.
Every time. Every time. It's just so predictable. But there was just...
We should just bet money now. When McGregor wins his next fight, it's going to say Mac is back.
I think we should actually patent and coin that, because then we could sell it to somebody.
We should get that website right now. MacIsBack.com. And sell t-shirts already that have like some Irish slogan about how you can beat me down, but you can't take me. Lucky Charms.
Do we have to throw a leprechaun in there? Sounds like a yes. But other MMA news. There's been a ton of fights being signed as of late. A few of them falling off. I don't know if we officially have told the fans, if we've been on since then, that Dominic Cruz officially fell out with his fight against... I can't even remember his opponent now. I'm so...
Dom Cruz.
Own worst enemy.
He was
going
to fight... Lineker?
No.
John Lineker?
No? It might have been Lineker. I think it was... You might be right.
And now it's going... There's talks maybe Lineker Garbrandt going down.
I love that.
I think Dom Cruz is done. I love Dom. I think he's next level. He's not done because he would have to be if he needed the money.
Right.
But because he has a career in broadcasting and is so fucking good at it, there's no reason for him to take any more hits in the head, in my opinion.
I totally agree 100%. I think Dominic Cruz is... His body's been telling him for a while he needs to switch jobs, and he has a better opportunity than most out there by being one of the best analysts across the board. And he was on the Ariel Helwani show, and it got really preachy at times. He got very motivational speaker and very motivating, but at the same time, it sounded very Joel Osteen, that preacher that's, you know, all those Marty Robbins guys. It was very just him and Vitor Belfort back-to-back. Vitor Belfort really championed for a Legends League. Would Dominic Cruz be a part of that Legends League?
I don't think he needs to be.
Again, stay with the announcing. Agreed.
He's too good at it. I don't think if he went to a Legends... I don't even like the idea of a Legends League.
I was about
anyone.
To ask you that next.
I don't like it for anyone. I don't mind if Legends do BJJ or wrestling tournaments afterwards, but nothing with head strikes. Nothing with strikes anymore. I don't mind if they get into any kind of grappling tournaments, but I don't want them involved in Muay Thai tournaments, karate tournament, none of it. I only want them involved if they're going to do anything at all, because I think their tendons, that's horrible for their hips.
Combat jiu-jitsu?
No open hand. That open hand stuff.
It still knocked you out.
Yeah.
It'll knock your ass out in a heartbeat. It'll puncture an eardrum.
A good pimp hand.
Oh, yeah. You will rupture an eardrum in a heartbeat to hitting it right. People will go for the cup of the ear. But another ear-raising tale, we got Jeremy Little Heathen Stevens coming in against Zabit Magomed Sharipov in a highlight bout for March 2nd, Saturday. Tickets are already on sale. And... that's a fun one.
Speaking of Dom Cruz, like, we could do a nice little walk-in. That's a perfect little walk-in. That is a really fun one. We hashtagged it Test Your Metal, and I thought that was... If you are talking about being one of the big dogs, Jeremy Stevens is the perfect guy.
Jeremy Stevens coming off of a lost body shot from Jose Aldo, one of the best combinations of the year, really seeing that... Jeremy Stevens might not be that number 3, 2, or 1 guy, but he's definitely top 5. And Zabit, this is definitely the biggest step up he's had by far. Leaps and bounds. Who was Zabit's last fight? Bochniak?
Yeah. It is a huge step up from Bochniak.
Humongous step up. Little Keenan definitely always brings the hurt. Big power, late into the rounds.
It makes me nervous about that body shot, though. I think those body shots are going to be the new. Leg kicks were so 2017.
Yep.
They just, like, exploited them. We see them really come out where it becomes the new way. I think body shots are 2018.
Or is it calf kicks are 2018?
Okay, if calf kicks are 2018, body shots are going to be 2019.
I can see that more. Because I say that calf kick is it's fucking ruined people this year.
Yeah, that's how mixed martial arts is starting to change. People are starting to work on the things you can't do anything about.
Right.
You can't make your liver stand up to shots.
Which kidney punches are still technically legal in the UFC. People haven't really used those yet, but as long as you don't put pressure on the spine, the bean here got some footage. I love me a good kidney punch. When you're mounted on somebody's back, you can punch directly onto the back of their kidney as long as you stay away from the spine. They'll feel it real quick going into that second round. And it is legal. A lot of sports, boxing, very illegal. A lot of other striking sports, because there's no protection there. It's an open kidney. It's
soft.
Yeah.
Soft.
Yeah. We don't see it more, but it's one of those that, mark my words, will be exploited eventually. Eventually.
I think all that. And
all of it.
So Zabit, if I'm training him right now, I'm going to teach him how to do just a whole bunch of body shots, jabs to the body. He has killer kicks. I'm just going to teach him. We're going to just work on exploiting Jeremy's body. That's it.
Right. I would totally agree with that. But we have seen that Zabit might not have as much power as we initially think. And you really got to put it to Jeremy Stephens to get him out. The body shot that finally put him down was an accumulation by Aldo, and just a true testament to the professionalism of Jose Aldo. And he still is around in the top five.
He might be a 2 or 3 to 1 underdog against Zabit, and I think there's real money to be made on Jeremy
Stephens. 100%. That's going to be a 5-rounder, too. Zabit, we've never seen go 5 rounds.
Is it the main event? I don't think so, because it's it's a pay-per-view.
It says 235.
Yeah, I don't think it's the pay-per-view.
It could be like the preliminary
highlight.
It's the same one
they were talking about, Nick Diaz versus George Masvidal.
I've been hearing that as well, but it's been the Nick Diaz / Masvidal will hit to a lot of fights and just not come through. So I haven't put too many eggs in those baskets for a while.
I wonder how many more fights are on Nick or Nate's contract. Either one. The way everyone's piling out and the amount of steam that it's getting, I think we're in a day and age that people will follow their fighters. I think, and the Diaz brothers are huge.
Yeah, they still have a big drawing presence. And another organization would easily pick them up.
It would be 10 times bigger than Sage Northcutt or even Demetrius Johnson going to one if they got somebody like the Diaz brothers.
Or Bellator. I could see Bellator shelling out big money for those guys. Coker loves the Diaz brothers.
But what you were saying is, or like maybe last week or the week before, that it seems like Scott Coker would be more likely to get the Diaz brothers is the one is looking for family type entertainers, and the Diaz brothers are that.
Not exactly. Yeah, Chauncey Tertong from F1 FC does not want those guys to be rude and whatever, and that's not the Diaz brothers, and try to control those guys, it'll make them worse every single time. Try to put a caged animal in a corner, see what happens.
No one puts baby in a corner.
No one put the Minotaurs in the corner. Nobody. But back to that little Jeremy Stephens Zabit poster, have you paid much attention to it? Because I just got to give a shout out to Zabit's hairstylist. I love me the Bee Gees. And that dude is so on point for 1970s disco fever inferno to me.
No, I'll have to look it up.
Oh, find it on. It's not hard to type in Jeremy Stephens right now.
Zabit.
But Zabit's stylist. It's a Mehmed perfect little. Mehmed
Sharipov.
Bee Gees staying alive in there. And it's going to be a fun one. So,
whether you're a mother, whether you're a brother, you're staying alive.
Jesse
Robinson.
It is
a little afro-y.
Oh, 100%.
But it almost just seems like they did something shitty with it for their editing.
And if you see the whole,
it looks like he has a hairnet on.
If you look at the whole piece, I've seen another poster of it where they show both of their entire heads. And it is a perfect dome, like hairsprayed on. It is funny looking, to say the least. What was the other? Jessie Jess was also talking about her weight issues.
Doesn't Jeremy Stephens, though, have an Amish beard? Like, he needs to thin that shit out on the sides a little bit?
Via that photo, whenever it was taken for MMA fighting, it looks like there. But yeah, that's a long-ass beard. That's definitely getting into that preacher-level type of a beard, where you got a congregation in your basement.
Jebediah Stephens.
Little like heathen Stevens.
Little heathen Stevens.
But Jesse Jess was talking about her weight cut issues and how she...
Don't give a fuck.
At all. It wasn't her pee. Officially, she's the first in like three...
She's the first girl to not blame on her period.
But she's not officially hired a nutritionist. She kind of just listens to her body herself and just didn't feel up to the fight the day of.
Well, hey, miss, listen to your body yourself. You obviously can't hear yourself because this is not the first time. This is either not your weight class or you're not doing something right. That's it. It's one or the other. This isn't a fucking first time thing. If you're repetitive doing this... And I'm glad at least they're putting 13 fight cards, so one falls out, we still have 12 fight cards. But there was a time that it'd be like all of a sudden we're down to nine
cards. Yeah, come on. For sure.
Or just fights that they're like, oh, this is a big deal for us.
I would also say that 2018, the year of the weight miss, by far, one of the most missing weights I've ever seen. I have never seen a year like this. It started to get bad 2017, but almost every card. It was a surprise when everybody made weight. That's how many people missed weight this year. And still year to go. We have such a fun pay-per-view coming up ahead, but we have to wait till the 29th. We got a ways to go before then. Any other fights that you've seen that have been highlighted?
But we said Sunday on the Sunday card, we're going to break down the prelims.
Oh, yes, for sure. For sure. Sunday. We're going to do... It might not be. I think it's going
to... Yes, yeah, Sunday. That'll make sense. And then Wednesday we'll break down the main card.
The pay-per-view.
And then Saturday is the 29th. Yeah.
Yep, that is true. The other card, or the other fight that I wanted to highlight was Dana White versus De La Hoya.
Did we talk about that already?
I don't know if we officially talked about it, but they've been since talked about it more about how Dana's went on a couple unfiltered podcasts. I mean, filtered podcasts and saying how this guy's crazy and we might talk about it. But De La Hoya's cocaine is getting to his head, huh?
Or what's Dana doing either? It's embarrassing. Both of them, it's embarrassing. They're equally as embarrassing. What are they doing? I don't understand. It's almost like, why are you... Dana White doesn't... Does he need the De La Hoya rub? He's more famous than De La... Well, De La Hoya is a famous boxer.
Agreed.
But as far as promoters concerned, that's where I agree with Dana. Who's taking him seriously?
Right.
So,
but Dana White did have a pro boxing career. That's how he got into promoting.
You mean if they really fought?
Yeah.
I don't understand that. The other thing I don't understand the point of that is because Dana's worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
I would agree that by now I feel like Dana White is more rich than De La Hoya. Like, he doesn't need to make the money. He's got shares in the UFC.
Even on a poor end, De La Hoya ain't hurting.
Oh, by far. He's fine.
Yeah.
By far. He's doing all right. Any other MMA topics?
Oh my gosh. I think it's weird that UFC 233 doesn't have anything going on. Have you looked up that fight card?
I haven't went that deep into it.
I feel like they're going to have to cancel it. They're not going to be able to make it a pay-per-view. The main event of it was James Vick versus Paul Felder.
On a pay-per-view?
On UFC 233.
No, they're going to put somebody else there.
Well, that fight, it was canceled anyway. James Vick versus Paul Felder.
Wow, so now they have a to-be-announced
still? Like, right now, the whole thing, it says canceled the whole way down it. Because Dominic Cruz, John Lineker was, like, the fifth fight on that card. Henry Cejudo, TJ Dillashaw.
Right.
That could be the co-main.
A lot of speculation there.
Joanne Calderwood.
Are those official for that bout?
I don't know. This is messy.
Well, another official one that we do know that has been signed is Jimmy Rivera versus the Funkmaster, Aljamain Sterling. How do you feel about that one coming down the pipeline? It's going to be on the first ESPN Phoenix card.
I feel good about that for Aljamain.
Me too. Me too. Definitely another one on the books that actually might be a better fight. Jose Aldo, potentially, it's targeted. I don't know if they've officially signed it. Versus Moicano, 145 pounds for the Fortezella card coming up in the next few months. But how do you feel about that
one? What one?
Jose Aldo, Moicano, potentially. I don't know if that's official yet.
I like that fight. It's dangerous for Jose. I think he's on a mad tear. I think anyone that's underestimating Jose because they have in their head that they're Max Holloway is going to have a sad, sad mistake a-coming. I think Holloway is, or Aldo is still a scary MF.
Agreed.
And I really, really, really dig Moicano. I think it's Max Holloway, then down here, Jose Aldo, and then way down here, everybody else. Brian Ortega, when he called himself the second best in the division, I did not think he earned that at all.
Interesting.
Because he still hadn't gone through Jose. Yep. And Jose, to me, is the far second best in the division. Yeah. Even though Max handled him, look how Max handles people. Right. That's what Max does.
Right.
Because Max is that much better and arguably a 155er.
I would agree with that.
It's so weird. We have this, like, the weight cut. It's almost like, here, run down there. If you can just touch this, whoever gets back first. It's like, you just touch it, and whoever gets back first. It doesn't even make sense. It's almost like, what is this arbitrary weight cuts we're doing? Speaking of, have you seen the commercials that they keep airing for 232? And they're like, and it'll be this. And it like goes past and it's like gold and gems and little, it looks like cubic zirconian or diamonds on it. And then it has like a little American insignia and a little Canadian insignia. And it's like, and we'll be introducing this.
I have not. It's for the UFC?
Yeah, and we don't know. Like, the speculation is it a new belt design? Is it new belts?
Oh, I've heard about this. I haven't seen it yet. I did hear one of those podcasts talking about it earlier, and they were also talking about the reshaping. They assume that it's the reshaping of the belt. They're literally going to change the shape of the belt because you can't really wear it. All these lighter guys, Dana White doesn't even try to put it at Shevchenko. Right over the shoulder. Usually for the heavyweights, he mimics for the guys and they hold it, all that bullshit. But for the ladies and little guys, he's just like, here you go. There's no ceremonial.
Yeah, good point. And it's kind of beefy looking. Like, it doesn't look like it's worth anything. It's almost like the belt should have some gold or diamonds in it. It should be worth a little something.
I wouldn't be opposed to every couple years of reshaping. Like, you know, this era of the UFC by the way the belts were given out at this time. I don't think that it needs to be set in stone or gold.
I don't know, set in stone. Well, so I did a little more research because as I was looking at that UFC 223, it just looked messy AF.
Yep.
So when I'm scrolling down from UFC 232, which is Jones Gustafsson, which we'll talk about next week, if you're liking and subscribing, you can make sure you get that first, hit that little bell so you can get the notification even at Christmas time. But there is no 233 on the books as far as the UFC is concerned. It only goes right to the UFC 234, which is Whitaker versus Gastelum. So isn't that crazy? Like, there's nothing in between UFC 232 and UFC 234. So the 232 is December 29th. 234 is February 9th.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Like a 5 or 6 week time and no 233. On books yet. So are they going to drop something big on us?
I think that they're probably making that. They're probably putting fights together
Brock
for that.
DC.
Didn't they also just pull a card? UFC officially pulled one of their cards and reshuffled a different
one? Maybe that's 233. Maybe that's the Cejudo Dillashaw
stuff. They might have officially pulled that one. I did hear that they were talking about putting a card together and they started to announce it and then quickly pulled it all back because the main events didn't even think they were going to line up due to fighters' issues.
And 234 is Kelvin Gastelum, Whitaker, co-main Adesanya Silva.
That's a fun two bouts. There's other bouts on that night.
Why do we need to
That's
see
a good one.
Do we need, like, how come Anderson Silva's one of the guys we're not, like, he's probably done.
Because he hasn't taken the crazy amount of damage. Like, he does have a pretty good head movement. Like, he does still make the fights very dirty. He doesn't ever really look absolutely outclassed. We haven't seen
this fighter
outclassed.
The last time we've seen him is DC. Broken.
Yeah. But even then,
DC on, like, I walked in to drink beer and eat.
That went 5 rounds on what day's notice? A day and a half's notice. Did it not go 5 rounds?
Loud in the mic, sorry. It did.
It did. It didn't get finished on a day and a half's notice.
But DC could have if he wanted to. Some say
would have, could have, would have, could have. But Anderson Silva has never been completely, other than the knockout by Wadman and then the broken leg.
Do you think it's because of PEDs?
I think it's dick pills or something. Dick pills that keeps your.
It's normal.
Yeah.
It's normal. It's normal.
Because he popped for the dick pills before John Jones did. He was the first one to come out with that excuse so that he got a reduced sentence.
They're totally still putting cards together, though, because those are the only two fights on that card.
Yeah, right, they gotta be. Gotta be.
Are you getting excited about Amanda Nunes, Chris?
I am, but I've been excited for that for a while. Jones Gustafson, I was watching some breakdowns already, and I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm trying to stay away from it and relax out of this this a little bit.
Do you think Jones beat Gustafson the first time? I never knew it was sketchy decision before.
I think Jones won the first fight. I think it was the closest anyone had got to beating Jones, but it's one of those, you gotta beat the champ to beat the champ. You gotta beat the champ to beat the champ.
Do you believe that?
I do believe that.
I don't know if I do anymore. Well, I don't know if I do.
We can all change. I can go back and forth.
I feel like I'm at the point where it's like, beat him how? How do you have to beat the champ? Even if it's close, if you won, you won.
Good point.
But I don't know. I have to rewatch that fight. I have not watched it with my new UFC eyes. I'm going with other people's speculation where people are like, I've really rewatched it, and I feel like Gus won that fight. And I'm like, huh, they give Jones the last two rounds. Everyone says pretty decisively.
Yep.
Gus 2 and 3 pretty decisively. Well, no, I've seen 1 and 2 up in the air both ways.
I was going to say, it's always down to that round one.
What about Zagano versus Megan Anderson? Kat versus Megan.
Is that official?
It is official. Kat, it's official for UFC 232. And Kat wants that Amanda Nunes fight so bad.
I've always been a fan of Kat Zagano. I mean, Evil Twin's got a dog named Kat for Kat Zingano and Benson for Benson Henderson. But I'm a fan of Kat Zingano, but is she one of those people that I'm like, all right, time to step away. She is a bit older. She's had a ton of surgeries on her knees. She's had a ton of life, other issues that she's gone through more so than most people with her husband and all of that issues. So now she's raising a kid on her own. And definitely, Megan Anderson is an up-and-comer. I feel like this would have been a much better fight for her instead of Holly Holmes immediately coming into the division, because this is a much more winnable fight just due to her outsizing. Like, Megan Anderson is one of those big people. So at this point for Kat, I give her a shot. I don't think she's going to get overwhelmed completely in there, but Megan's going to be learning a lot and still growing in there. I got Megan Anderson. Who do you have?
Oh, right now I have Kat. I have to see how Megan, the way that Holly Holmes handled Megan Anderson was by staying away from striking with her and just going in and taking her down, going in and taking her down. If Holly Holmes is going to go in and take you down, Kat Zingano is going to go in and take you down. That's what she do. So if Megan get past Kat's ground game, it's going to be really beneficial to her going forward. But Kat looked really good in your last fight.
Good point.
Right now, I'm surprising because I'm a huge... I think Megan's going to be a queen of her division one day.
Did you actually see Megan, or Megan, whatever way you want to pronounce it, announcing for Invicta over the weekend?
Just pictures of just people.
The Powerpuff Girls? And I retweeted that from her because it's so true. Yeah, where it would be not her head, just the red dress. And then the other three, like, little girls, like, we did really good out there.
It's kind of funny because Brian Kelleher tweeted out, like, 4 hours ago, and it's something that we've said before, and it's getting a lot of play. Imagine the UFC did a tournament style for the new 165 championship. That would be different and fun to see. And that's what I was wondering, if they were going to be announcing the 165 championship. Because the new belt, like a new belt design with a new division.
Oh, I love where you're going with this.
And this is what I think the fight is, which I think is really weird, but this is kind of what I think the fight to introduce the division would be GSP versus Askren.
Wow. Bold predictions from Lesbo.
Isn't that a weird one?
I like it, though. It makes sense for a lot of reasons.
GSP said he will only fight fights that intrigue him. And I feel like Ben Askren would intrigue GSP.
Because he's not going to get hit at all. As far as, like, standing strikes. It'll be grappling. And GSP was offered an Olympic spot on the Canadian team after his UFC belt. Because he was in there wrestling up all those Olympians. So, GSP loves to go to the ground. And he has a sneaky good ground game.
It'd be a perfect way to open the 165.
Love it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting.
That's a great fight.
And I think it's smart if it's not McGregor fighting. If McGregor would have handled Khabib okay, then yeah, we can see him fighting GSP. But otherwise, I don't think there's any reason for that for his legacy. And no one will ever talk shit to him because they're totally different size guys. They're totally indifferent. It's like calling Demetrius Johnson an asshole because he never fought Conor. Like, it doesn't make any sense if it never happened.
Right.
But I don't think he needs to be there to open the division. Or one of the Diazes versus GSP. But I think GSP should open the division.
I love that because he would break all sorts of the records for being a freaking three some sort belt. Of triple. Yeah, exactly. The trip, baby.
And they know he plays ball where he'll hand that title right back over. He won it from Bisping and handed it right back over. He didn't try to hold on to it for some crazy amount of time and make it a stripping. Speaking of stripping, what do you feel about Dana and the T. Woods situation?
Well, please inform me on to where, because I feel like they've just always been on rough grounds
well,
for
right
a while.
Well, right now, Dana's kind of calling T. Woods a shitty champion and saying that he needs to fight again or, it's, you know, he's going to make
another
interim belt.
I don't like that at all. I don't like it at all because T. Woods has fought more than most champions this year.
Totally. Where's Rose Namajunas? Like, when's the last time she fought? T. Woods fought it. And Colby Covington's the one who made me realize it in my own head. He said, I think it's kind of bullshit what they're doing to T. Woods.
It's true.
He's fought more recent than at least three of their other champions.
100%.
And he is still getting surgeries in between his fights and still fighting. Like, I think we both want to fight each other. Don't rush this.
I would agree with that, but I was mulling it over in my head, and I feel like Dana White, it's a leverage tactic. It's a leverage point that he's trying to use because T. Woods, it does have his TMZ spots, does have his movie appearances, and is making money. So he doesn't have this, like, you want to get paid again? Come and fight. T. Woods is financially potentially set with his even, like, Champ Life. What does he have? Champ Life as well, his own little, like, streaming service. But T. Woods is making money a lot. So to me, what I think it is Dana White doesn't have any financial ways to be able to incentivize, so he's going to talk shit in order to finally get somebody in there that he can play ball with, and by play ball I mean hold money over his head until he does what he wants for him.
And no offense to Kamaru Usman, you know we love Usman here, but I don't see him being a big draw where it's like, we got to get this fight off. Like, we got to get this fight going. We need to, it's, you know, you guys are going to fight Usman, and no offense to Ben Askren, the hardcores love Ben,
right.
But other than that, it's, you know, there is no difference of Ben Askren and Justin Gaethje. We all love Justin Gaethje, but hardcores love Justin Gaethje. But that walkover star that's just coming over, Eddie Alvarez probably had more fans than both those guys walking over.
I could see that.
It's like arguable, but it's not like some huge.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's not some huge. I don't know. I think Dana. But maybe this is how he promotes. This is his promoting style. And it seemed, you know, he's the best promoter in the game.
So they say, I mean, he did bring this back from the ashes, supposedly, which.
So they say. Okay, let's see if anything else is going on online. Do you know anything else?
As far as MMA world, I'm struggling now I feel like we've started to really catch up. We're going to be able to find other stuff, but you were saying podcasts earlier that you were listening to that you really recommend with the band stuff. I would recommend the Aaron Hernandez series that came out. It really talks about a lot of his prior life issues and stuff, and the series is now over. It's called Aaron Hernandez. It's done by the Wondery podcast, but it's like a 10-part series, and they're at the point now.
Who's Aaron Hernandez?
The football player who committed suicide because he was found guilty for murdering a couple guys in alleys here in Florida and other parts of the country. But a lot of people think that it was traumatic brain injury as well as athlete that was led to privilege early because he was a big, strong man. And even though he had the mind of a 17-year-old, he was given a lot of money and a lot of responsibility way too early, which tends to happen. If you can play, you can play. Doesn't matter what's in your head. What matters is if you can cut that route. But really recommend it. They're at the point where they're... People have heard the podcast and now come in to tell their stories and are now like, I was a former lover of his and I was a 17-year-old boy. So there's a lot of other issues and a lot of other coaches. Like, I'll go on the record and say my 2 cents of when we thought he had TBI for sure, when they could see it in high school.
Yeah, that's the thing I was just about to say is the NFL's getting a lot of shit that if you are a player that... made it to the NFL, you have already had at least 100 concussions before you got there. Like, please don't. It's like, I still think there's a conspiracy in society that they're going to blame it on people taking a knee, but really it's traumatic brain injury. That's why people aren't tuning into the NFL.
I kind of agree with you right there.
I think they're trying to blame... It's like so funny that movie Concussion came out. No. And they're like, all of a sudden the viewership drops. Well, not just drops, because moms are like, I don't want him to watch that because I don't want him to play football when he's older. And dads are kind of understanding because they probably have their own ringing in their ears or their own problems with impulse control because they were pushed through the football peewee and tyke, little tyke and all that stuff. So dangerous.
They're changing it as well. They're doing a lot of like... flag football for kids now and a lot of like grab the back of some strap device, but a sport that is definitely taking a hit. And we welcome on over to the MMA side over here where submissions take away 50% of that.
You can tell, do some research for yourself, like to tell your family, because this is a talk you can talk about over your amazing Christmas or your holiday feast, and you can sit around and you can tell them how much better MMA is than their sport. Rugby is better than football. Like, it's far
less, as far as safer.
Yeah, far safer. And people are like, what? How can you say that? How can you? Yeah, look, do some research. Numbers. Just do some research. You know, you don't come to Lesbo and the Bean for the numbers.
Well, you just come to not us those for numbers.
The ass pinions. Opinions are like assholes. Ass pinions.
I got a big one.
I got a big ass. Tell me about your ass, Pee-wee. Ew. Do you remember Pee-wee's Big Adventure where they're like sitting in the thing? Pee-wee, I have a big ass or a big butt. I got a big butt. Tell me about your big butt, Pee-wee. I don't know. I don't think there's anything else going on without us squeezing out some card information.
Right, which we don't need to force that. We're going to have time. We're going to have time.
What about the VADA? Did you see how, like, hey, John Jones, why don't you, since you've had some issues before with testing in the past, why don't you get tested by these two companies? Instead of just USADA testing you, you also get tested by VADA. Like, you do it yourself.
There's a lot of other politics going on with those agencies that I don't know about to speak on, but do not think that they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart. They want to wedge themselves in to the UFC to be like, hey, look, we'll make all your athletes fat regardless. Like, it could be some other backdoor scheme that we're not thinking of, that they're just like, yeah, we'll help. We'll make sure, so in case theirs comes back weird, we can be the control, supposedly, because we have better testing issues, subscriptions, and UFC has a new contractor to do piss tests, which is big money. That shit ain't cheap. Like, yeah. People make money off of it. Why do you think they want more regulation, like in New York? Because they can tax the organization. Crazy amounts of money that people don't know.
Yeah, it's so sketchy and so much garbage involved in it that I don't even know how much I trust USADA anymore.
Totally agree.
I know. Like, after totally the whole, agree. Like, Brock Lesnar and John Jones.
Asthma.
And
just saying. I know you hating on my boy, but he has asthma.
Certain times that they, like, you know, the people like Caviglio or Sugar Shane where, like, we don't see him for a year because of pot, and then we see people like Brock Lesnar inside the octagon with 2 months of tests. Like, there's just bullshit. There's fuckery. If Jon Jones isn't guilty and they took this amount of years off us watching the best fighter ever perform, fuck them. Like, if he is guilty, then I don't understand how he's getting back so soon. So either way, it's sketch. I don't know. So, you know, we should just end the podcast with fuck USADA. No, I'm just
kidding. Get USADA. You ain't getting no love around here.
No. And so we are going to see you before Christmas.
For sure.
So we don't have to wish you any of that. Is it a day of Hanukkah right now?
Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. I don't know if it's Kwanzaa. I don't know any other thing. I just know Christmas because that's what I was indoctrinated with the religion of Santa Claus.
I love Xmas myself.
Xmas?
Xmas.
I like Xtina Aguilera.
Oh, X, my girl! My girl! So you know where to find us.
I'm a genie in a bottle. Okay, that's it. Make sure you like and subscribe. Thank you so much.
That's supposed to be!
Thanks for listening to Let Be. For all things Lesbo and the Bean, head over to lesboandthebean.com or follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.